Numbers, and we'll go to chapter number 2. We're certainly thankful to have those of you who are watching by way of the internet. We're thankful you can join us for worship this morning. And we ask that God would indeed be gracious to each of us and enable us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's look to the Lord once again. Lord, it is such an awesome thing to bow before You in remembrance of who You are and all of Your glorious attributes. It is an awesome thing. It's a time of reverence as we bow before You. But it's also a time of honor and privilege that we can enter into the very presence of God through the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we come to You now, especially about this service. We ask that You would bless Your word. You have said that You'll send forth Your word and it will never return to You void. And we fully believe that. This is the effectual word of God. It will do that which You've ordained for it to do in whoever You send it to. Lord, may it be the word of grace to all of us, to all who are watching, all who will be listening to this message later. Oh God, show mercy upon us, the vilest of sinners. We sit before You like blind Bartimaeus, who said, "Lord, Lord, have mercy on me." Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. We wait for You like the leper waited for the master to come down from the mountain. And He said to him, "Lord, if You will, You can make us whole." We recognize Thou art the God of sovereignty, the God of electing grace, the only God of salvation. And it is within Your right, it is within Your power to be gracious to us. We wait for You, Lord. We bow before You. We bring no goodness to You because we don't have any. We just, all of us, we come before You as sinful people. And we do plead that bloody sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Wash us, Lord. And then we shall be clean, whiter than the snow, as the Scripture says. So be with us now. We ask that You'd save the lost, rescue the perishing. Lift up, Lord, those who are downhearted. Lord, encourage those of Your people who are dejected. Every moment of every day, we need You. We ask You to be with us through this service in every moment of our lives. And then someday we'll see You, that is the Son of God, in heaven's bright and wonderful glory. So bless the message this morning, and these who sit before me, give them the hearing ear, the seeing eye, and Lord, the believing heart. These things we ask in the name of our Savior and for His sake. Amen. We've been dealing with the subject of the tabernacle in the wilderness now for several weeks. And I think somebody mentioned to me that, I guess somebody remarked to them, why is he preaching so much on this? Well, it's because it's such a vital subject, and it is just so full of God's salvation. It's full of grace, and it is, of course, full of our Lord Jesus, the Savior. God had given instructions to Moses back in the book of Exodus that he said, make me a sanctuary. I'm going to dwell with you. What a marvelous thing that God would dwell with people. And we know that's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read in John chapter 1, and the Word was made flesh, and He dwelt among us. That is, He tabernacled among us. And John said, we beheld His glory, that glory of God, that the glory of the One who's full of grace and of truth. So this tabernacle in the wilderness was the sanctuary and the earthly residence of God, the One who made all things by His authority, by His power. He ordained there would be one designated location where He would meet with men, and men would meet with Him. This is a perfect picture of our Lord Jesus. And right from the beginning of this message, I want you to understand, if you haven't understood before, may God the Spirit give you enlightenment on this. There is no coming to God. There is no worship of God. There is no drawing near to God except through Christ Jesus. You've got to understand that. We must have a mediator. We've got to have one to stand between us and a holy God. There's the go-between. That's Christ our Lord. And God said, He said, I'm going to dwell among you at the tabernacle. Now, I don't know how much all of them realize, but many of them realize God is in our midst. God is in our presence. That One who made all things, He is here with us. And the fact that God was there at the tabernacle, though He fills all things, and the heaven of heavens can't contain Him, yet God said, I will dwell there. I'll dwell among you. He said, I'll be your God. You'll be my people. And as a good many of the Israelites, those who believed anyway, as they considered the thought that God was among them, they rejoiced. This is their safety. Here are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. They're in the wilderness all around them, and they will continue to face enemies of various nations. But that which should alleviate all of their fear is this fact. God is with them. God is with them. Every morning when they got up, they knew God was with them because they went out and gathered manna. Every morning, manna. And then God would send meat, He'd send quail, and He would feed them. That God who dwells in the tabernacle, they would say, He's fed us again today. And though we have no cabinets, We have no storehouses. We have no place to put any of any food. We can't keep any food, yet we know in the morning there'll be more food. And we'll never lack for water, because water comes from that rock, and that rock is following us. And that rock is Christ Jesus, is what we read in the book of 1 Corinthians. So they knew they had safety. They had provision. Oh, maybe they didn't have everything they wanted, but they had everything they needed. And that which they especially needed was God. They needed God's presence. And they knew every time they looked at that tabernacle, they knew this is where God dwells. And whenever one would get discouraged about something, when they have family meetings or visiting from one tent to another tent, and someone would be discouraged about circumstances, one of the believing children of God, confident of the Lord, would say to him, "Don't worry about anything. Look yonder at the tabernacle. What do you see?" "I see the residence of God. God is with us. You who are God's people, you who rest in the Lord Jesus by God's grace to the salvation of your soul, I want to remind you right now, God is with you. He's with you. He's your safety. That no harm can come to you, not ultimately. Nobody can destroy your soul. Your soul is saved. And though you may have many obstacles as you go through this earthly journey, and though you may have many enemies, and you face many disappointments, remember that tabernacle of God is still with you." He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Throughout the wilderness journeys, God dwelt in the tabernacle. And he dwelt among a people, many of whom didn't even believe him. They found no peace in the Lord. They knew nothing of his grace. And we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 that many of them died in unbelief. But you know what? God took care of them too. He did. He watched after them too. And if he watched after his enemies, if he provided for the unbelievers, oh, how much more shall he provide for his believing people, those to whom he's given faith. No wonder our Lord said to his disciples when they were in the little fishing boat going across the Sea of Galilee and a storm came up and he was asleep in the back of the boat, and they went and woke him up because here's the thunder crashing, lightning flashing, the winds, the waves. They woke him up and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Have you ever said that in essence, in some difficulty of life? "Lord, don't you care?" And he says to each of us when we have those kind of thoughts, what he said to his disciples, "O ye of little faith, why do you doubt?" So here are the Israelites. God is in their midst. He's their protection. He's their provision. He gives them everything they need. Now, as we get to the book of Numbers, and Numbers consists of two numberings of the children of Israel. Two, as it were, a census were taken. This is the very first is in the first and the second chapters of Numbers. And this is a counting not of all of the people of Israel, But of the men age of 20 and above who could fight the enemy. And so these are numbered, and we're given the numbers. You can calculate how many were ready for battle. But that's not the only thing that is given here in Numbers chapter 1 and 2. There's also those designated locations where God said, this is where this tribe will be, this is where this tribe will be, and that tribe will be. And guess what? They all encircled the tabernacle. They're all around the tabernacle. The tabernacle's in the middle. God was literally in the midst of them. And they could all, in the morning when they pulled back the flap of their tent and looked out, all of them could see the tabernacle. They could see the tabernacle. And they knew the things that went on in the tabernacle. And a good many of them, maybe most of them, would go to the entrance into the tabernacle at the outer court, the gate of the tabernacle. And there they would wait as the morning sacrifice was offered to God. God said there will be every day a lamb in the morning and a lamb in the evening sacrificed to Him. And of course that pictures God's lamb, the Lord Jesus, who was sacrificed for us. But He only died one time because He finished the work of redemption. But many of them would go. They would attend like a worship service every morning. And those that were unable to attend due to sickness or whatever, for whatever reason, they knew exactly what was happening at the gate of the tabernacle at 9 a.m. every morning. Man would say to his wife, they've had breakfast, they've had their manna. They drank some water and maybe said, I got such a headache today, I just don't feel like going there to the gate of the tabernacle today. But I know what they're doing. I can visualize it in my mind's eye. Yeah, they're killing a lamb. Oh God, thank you for the lamb. Oh God, thank you for your lamb that's going to come into this world. And I worship you. I worship you through that lamb that is the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus the Lord. And throughout the day they would be, if they were traveling of course, throughout the day they knew the things that were going on at the tabernacle. And many of them would say, listen, we're such sinful people. I need to take an animal and sacrifice it to God. Come on, honey, let's go. Kids, let's go. Let's go. You finished your studies? Okay, let's all go. We're going to the gate of the tabernacle because we need to offer a sacrifice. Well, Daddy, why do we need to offer a sacrifice? Because we're sinful people. And this sacrifice pictures that one who's called the seed of the woman. That is Messiah. He's coming. And one of these days, He is going to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Now, as the children of Israel, I've already told you, they all are encircled around the tabernacle. They had a designated area where every tribe would be. It wasn't kind of, well, first come, first serve. You go stake a claim to whatever position you want. No, there was no disorder at all. Our God is the God of order. Let all things be done decently and in order. And so as we get especially into the second chapter, we find that not only are the numbers of the men qualified to go to battle given, but also every designated location for every one of the tribes is given. Let me read a little bit to you. Numbers chapter 2. Look at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, by the way, which one of the tribes are Moses and Aaron from? Well, they're of the Levitical tribe, tribe of Levi. Okay, that's called the priestly tribe. Look at verse 2. Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard or banner with the ensign or the mark. Every one of the, call it a banner or flag if you want to, think of it in terms of that, had a special mark on it designating that particular tribe of their father's house. He says, far off from the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. One writer said, and I'll just give this to you, I'm not sure it's factual or not, but he studied it a whole lot. He said that the whole area of the children of Israel, the area it would take to hold them all, would be 3 square miles. We're talking about a big encampment here because you're talking about over 1 million people. Now watch this. And on the east side, do you remember where the gate into the outer court was? It was at the east side. It was the eastern gate, the only gate into the tabernacle. And on the east side, toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah, they shall pitch throughout their armies. And Nashon, the son of Abinadab, he shall be the captain of the children of Judah. And his host, those that were numbered of them were 74,600. 74,600. So that's within the nation, or within the tribe of Judah, there were 74,600 soldiers. Able-bodied men ready to take up weapons and fight for the cause of Israel if need be. These men are 20 and above. Verse 5. And those that do pitch next unto Judah shall be of the tribe of Issachar. And Nethaneel, the son of Zuar, shall be captain of the children of Issachar. And his host and those that were numbered thereof were 54,400. 54,400, of course. Verse 7. And then the tribe of Zebulun and Eliab, the son of Helon, shall be the captain of the children of Zebulun. And his host, and those that were numbered thereof, were 57,400. All that were numbered in the camp of Judah. See, this is the way God set it up. Their camps consisted of 3 tribes kind of together. Though separate, yet they're counted together. So you've got 4 groups of people. East, north, south, west. Right? You got it? So that every side of the tabernacle has got 3 tribes of Israel. And you'll notice, and we'll get into this more later, you don't read the name of the tribe of Joseph. You read the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh, who were the 2 sons of Joseph. And it's interesting, that tribe which is not mentioned here is the tribe of Levi. So you got 3 tribes here, eastern side. Over here's 3 more tribes. Over there's 3 more tribes. That'd be at the back of the tabernacle, right? You can visualize that. So that's on the western side. It's eastern side over here where Judah's at. Over there's the western side. That's the way God set it up. He set it up that way. Now look at verse 9. All that were numbered in the camp of Judah. So that's Judah and Issachar and Zebulun. All of them together were 186,400 soldiers throughout their armies. And there's a little statement that is very important right at the end of verse 9. These shall first set forth. They went first. This is the tribe of Judah. Now we know what their standard was. Their banner. Their banner was a lion. That's their banner. And whenever anybody saw the banner that had a lion on it and the background was a light blue like the color of the heavens, that's Judah's tribe right there. And Judah would always go first. Now they had the largest number of army men. But more than that, that's the very tribe through which our Lord Jesus is going to come. So they're mentioned first here as being more important. And their location is not over to the side of the tabernacle or even behind the tabernacle or to that side of the tabernacle. They're in the very front of the tabernacle. Now the only group between them and the gate of the tabernacle were the Levites. The Levites, they encamped all the way around right inside of all the other tribes. So that whenever you looked outside your tent door, you could see, of course, the tabernacle was in view of everybody. Because you see, the Lord Jesus, He is always in the center and we're always around Him. Doesn't matter who you are, if you're a believer. And here these Israelites, they saw the tabernacle right in the middle, and the people of Judah were right there, the nearest to the gate. Because you see, the entrance into the tabernacle is through one who was of the tribe of Judah. And you know what he's spoken of as being in Revelation chapter 5? Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's who he is. He's the lion. And he leads the way. He's first when they went off to march and they were going in an easterly direction. It's the tribe of Judah going first. Look with me back in Genesis chapter 49. Look at Genesis chapter 49. It's interesting to consider there in Numbers chapter 2. You remember reading, I read to you that the Lord said, pitch your tents far off. It's got to be a distance between you and the tabernacle. And that's the way it was under the Levitical law. A distance. But our Lord Jesus has come into this world and He has died for His people. He has shed His blood to redeem us. And we're brought nigh to God. We're not a far distance off from God. We're nigh to God. In fact, He dwells within us. Scripture says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I'll read this, what I want to read here out of Genesis 49 in just a minute. But think of this. The children of Israel, they encircle God. I say Christ is in the middle. Every eye's on Him. It doesn't matter where you live, in the north, the south, the east, or the west. All of God's people focus on Him. He's the focus. It's like that tabernacle was the focal point. And then, and I didn't finish this thought, but the tabernacle was the focal point. And then around the tabernacle, the priesthood. And the Israelites would always remember those two things. There's the tabernacle. There's the Lord. And I've got a priest who's ministering to God for me. And let me tell you something. We have a priest who ministers to God for us. He's our great high priest. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Here in Genesis chapter 49, Jacob is on his deathbed. He's called his sons in. He's going to pronounce blessings upon them. And look at verse 8. Judah, Genesis 49:8, Judah, what does Judah's name mean? Praise. Praise the Lord. He's one of the sons of Leah, Rachel's sister. And when he was born, the last of her four sons, she said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. I had Ron read Psalm 148 for that reason. We all praise him. All of his brethren praise him. And one of these days, everybody, everything that hath breath is going to praise the name of our great Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how come Moses didn't come out of the tribe of Judah? Well, Moses came out of the tribe of Levi because he is of the priestly tribe, but also he represents God's law. Law can't take you into the promised land. Only Jehovah Jesus can do that. But read on. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Think of the cross of Calvary, where our Lord Jesus, he conquered every enemy of his people. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. And all of the father's children do. We bow down before Christ. Judah is a lion's whelp. He's a young lion, full of strength, full of power. And from the prey, my son, thou art gone up. Where is he gone up to? He's gone up to glory. He's seated at the right hand of God, having finished his work of redemption. Well, why was he exalted on high? Because look at this next statement. He stooped down. That's why. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him. It's because he stooped down. He couched as a lion, as an old lion. You don't want to rouse him up. You don't want to rouse up this lion against you. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And we know that Judah existed, the government of Judah existed until the Lord Jesus came. And then in 70 AD, it was all destroyed. Oh, yes, Shiloh has come. What does Shiloh mean? The gatherer. He's the one who gathers his people around him. In fact, he says in verse 11, binding his foal under the vine and his ass's colt under the choice vine. Think of his entrance into Jerusalem. Think of him being the vine. He said, I'm the vine. I am the vine. You're the branches, he told his disciples. He washed his garments in wine, in blood, in the blood of grapes. See him at the cross of Calvary shedding his blood. And his teeth shall be red with wine, or his eyes shall be red with wine, his teeth white with milk. You know what he gives to us? He gives to us the wine of the gospel that makes the heart merry. And he gives us the milk of the word to strengthen us. To strengthen. We'll go back to Numbers, the second chapter then. So here we have Judah positioned right in front of the gate. And then, of course, within all the tribes was the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe. We know that Judah was the fourthborn son to Leah. It was Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. She was the one who gave him the name of Judah. She said, "I will praise the Lord." And that's what she did. She named Judah the praise of the Lord. And here we have Judah positioned in a very strategic location. They face the door or the gate of the tabernacle. And when the pillar of cloud began to move, and they heard the ram's horn sounded out by the priests, it was Judah who led them. And it's our Lord Jesus who leads us. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought, he leadeth me. That's what we sing. He leadeth me beside the still waters, is what David says in Psalm 23. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me because I don't know where to go. Oh, blessed, pleasant thought that our great Judah leads us. He leads us to God. He leads us to salvation. He leads us to the water of life and then gives us a thirst to drink. He leads us to the bread of life and gives us an appetite to eat. This is our great Judah. Judah. But within the nation, within the tribe of Judah, there was one individual who was set aside for a very, very important job. Look at verse 3 of chapter 2 again. "And on the east side, toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And Nashon, who is the son of Abinadab, he shall be the captain. He shall be the governor. He shall be the leader. He shall be the chief of the children of Judah." And whenever that pillar of cloud began to move, and the people of Judah, specifically Nashon, when he heard the ram's horn sound, he picked up that banner. Let's go. He leads the way. He leads the way. He's out. He's the one out front. Who is this man? Really, we don't know much about him. Back in the first chapter, we know that Moses and Aaron selected one man from every tribe who would be there to validate the counting of the men. And he was the one who represented Judah then. Who is this guy? Well, like I say, we don't know too much about him. But we know that he was the captain of all of Judah, and he led the way. Go with me to the book of Ruth. Let me just show you a few things about this man, Nashon. Some pronounce it Nashon, and that's probably more correct, but I've always said Nashon, so you know who I'm talking about. Look at the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth and chapter 4. We know that Ruth married Boaz, right? The kinsman redeemer. And that's a beautiful story in and of itself. Don't have time to get into that right now. But look at Ruth chapter 4 and verse 18. Ruth Ruth chapter 4 and verse 18. Now these are the generations of Phares, son of Judah. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Abinadab. And Abinadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon. That was his son. By the way, he married Rahab the harlot after the Israelites took over Jericho. And in fact, Nashon's sister married Aaron. So Aaron's his brother-in-law. But Abinadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. He's in the lineage. Oh, well might he be out there in the front. He's in the lineage of David. More than that, he's in the lineage of the son of David, even the Lord Jesus himself. So go to Matthew chapter 1. Look at Matthew chapter 1. And I'll read the first six verses. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas, or Judah, and his brethren. And Judah begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom. And Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Abinadab. And Abinadab begat Naasson. Same guy, just different spelling in the New Testament. And Naasson begat, his son Salmon. And then come all the way down to verse 15. And Elihud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matthan, and Matthan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is Christ. He's in the royal lineage. You see, this is the genealogy of Joseph. Now go over to Luke. The third chapter, here's the genealogy of Mary. And we'll find this man is still in the genealogy because both of them, you see, were of the tribe of Judah, both Joseph and Mary. That's the reason in Luke, the second chapter, that they took a census and Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem. They had to go to Bethlehem in order to be counted. Now look at Luke chapter 3. And here we're tracing the lineage of Mary backwards. We're going backwards now. So look at verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And now drop down to verse 31. The last statement of verse 31, which was the son of David, which was the son of Jesse. Remember, we're going backwards now. Which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, or Boaz, which was the son of Salmon, which was the son of Naasson. And you keep on going and going and going. And it says, verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. The Lord said to Moses, here's my man. This is my man. This guy over here in Numbers chapter 2 and verse 3, his name is Nashon. He's my man. He'll be out front. He's got the banner. He holds the banner up. And I'll tell you what, all the children of Israel, when they saw that banner move, they're moving with it. And our Lord Jesus, he not only holds the banner, he is the banner. He's the banner himself. In the book of Isaiah, we read that. He draws people unto himself. We're drawn to the banner. We're drawn to the ensign. He is the lion. He's the one who conquered. You see, the reason we will never be defeated is because the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, Revelation chapter 5. He prevailed over all of our enemies and over all of his enemies. And he's been exalted. This one who is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so, as all of Judah and all of Israel, as they followed that one man, we follow our Lord Jesus. He's out front. He's never faced anything that you will face. He faced first. And he went into death. He went into the grave. So will you. But he went first. And he came out. So will you in the resurrection. And he's gone home to glory. And so will you. Jesus, our forerunner, has entered in. He went first. He's gone to heaven. There's a man in heaven. And because there's a man in heaven, there's going to be a whole lot more men in heaven. And women too. This is Nashon. He leads the way. And we follow him. His banner over us, it's love. And he has conquered over all of our foes. Nashon, that idea, he's the captain, means he's the author. And the word captain means author. Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. There in Hebrews chapter 12, he's the prince. He's the one who is exalted to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. I tell you, it's an honor to follow our nation, to follow our king, to follow our leader, the Lord Jesus. And we'll follow him right on into glory one day. And on this earth, he leads us now. And we follow him. He leads not only the tribe of Judah, he leads the entire nation of Israel. He leads all of his true people. And he'll never lead us in the wrong direction. He'll never lead us out somewhere and then forsake us. He's always with us. And one more thought, and I'll quit. There that tabernacle was, and all the way encircled around the tabernacle were the people of God. Yet the scripture also says that the Lord himself encircles us. What nearness. Oh, how close we are to our Lord. How close he is to us. Oh, God, give us faith to trust him, to rest in him, and not be fearful. Lord, take the things that have been spoken this morning and magnify yourself. We're thankful for our great nation, the great Judah, the great Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. He went into the very heat of the battle for us. He conquered every foe. And because of him, we've been redeemed and reconciled to God. Divine justice was satisfied by our Savior. And he's gone on back to glory, where he's seated upon his throne, ruling and reigning over all things. And we follow him through his word, and we shall someday follow him right on into glory, to be with him forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for these beautiful pictures that you give us in the Word of God of spiritual truths. And we're thankful we're numbered among those who are the followers of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. For Christ's sake, I pray these things. Amen.